Goodness, righteousness, and truth be yours in abundance. Amen. Do you ever notice how Noah's Ark is a very common theme for kids' stuff? I'm talking clothes, I'm talking bedroom murals, books, toys, theme parks. Kind of makes sense. A boat full of animals is kind of pretty high on the cuteness scale. It's got a lot of cuteness factor to it. Did you ever also notice, though, that it's an entirely sanitized scene from the reality of the flood? Never depicted on bedroom murals or infant onesies is the true carnage that happened outside of the ark. Where are the human corpses? Where is the animal carcasses floating in the water? I've never seen a bedroom mural that really depicts the reality of it. They most often look like this. This is God's most epic act of judgment on the unbelieving world. We kind of treat it like a pleasant field trip to a floating zoo, the way we present it sometimes. I'm not saying we should get rid of all Noah's Ark kids stuff. We've got it in our house, and kids will learn later, you know, what the Ark is all about, what the flood is all about. I am saying this, though. The point is, I think this is kind of representative of the way that we Christians sometimes present ourselves and God to the rest of the world. Let me just say this. We're too nice. Stop being so nice. Maybe it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm kind of not. In the church, we American Christians have so sanitized ourselves. We have so presented ourselves in this childlike, pedantic, children's storybook fashion that the world doesn't think much of us anymore. Most people in the world think that Christians are this nice, ignorant, simple-minded folk who don't really know any better. Sure, you know, we do a lot of good in the world, and we help people as a church, as Christians. We don't really get in the way of most people. We don't really bother most people. We kind of keep to ourselves as Christians, most of us, right? Aside from a few well-known Christians who are in the public eye that are maybe outspoken, most of the world, I think, views Christians as largely benign in our society. Yes, I'm comparing Christians and their effect on society as a tumor. Mostly a benign one. I would argue this, though. This is a problem. If Christians are going to be a tumor on society, God would have us be a malignant one. Today, we're going to see how Jesus and the Apostle Paul both live this way in a society of darkness. And they both call us to do the same. Now, Paul does not call us a tumor on society. He uses a different picture. He uses a picture of light and darkness. We are light, and society that we live in is darkness. And he says, walk as children of light. In other words, do what light does. Now, Paul is going to show us three aspects of how we live as children of light. Three aspects of how light interacts with darkness. What does light do to darkness? How does it influence darkness? Paul's going to have three aspects of that, and he's going to kind of riff on those three. Here's what he says. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Light, children of light. This is what Paul says we are. This is our identity in Christ. This is what God has made us to be, and this is how we live in the world. Now, Paul's going to go on from here, and he's going to give three kind of more detailed descriptions of how we walk as children of light. And here's the thing about these descriptions. Each one of these kind of connects back to those three fruits of the light that he's already mentioned. There's like, there's some parallels between two sets of three. And so that's what we want to look at today. That's what we want to explore. They're printed in the bulletin and in their sets. So goodness lines up with verse 10, and righteousness lines up with verse 11, the first half, and truth lines up with the rest of verse 11. You can follow along there. Let's explore those today. First of all, Paul says, we walk as children of light in all goodness. So what is goodness? Isn't goodness whatever pleases God? God himself is goodness. He defines goodness by himself. And so whatever pleases him is good. It's good for us, his people. It's good for the world. And so that's why Paul says this. He says, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. It lines up with goodness. There's a different way to translate this passage, this line, and it goes like this. Put your stamp of approval on what is good. As Christians, as children of light, as lights in the world, our lives show others what is pleasing to the Lord. Our lives show what true goodness is to the world. In other words, we are like signals in the world that shine out there and say, this is a life that's pleasing to God. This is how God wants us to behave and live and act. And when we do this, are we not just doing what Jesus did? Jesus called himself the light of the world, and he calls us lights of the world. Are we not just being little Christs, little lights of the world, when we signal to the world what true goodness is? This is what Jesus did. His whole life in word and deed was like this flashing neon sign saying, hey, this is true goodness. This is a life that's pleasing to God. That's the first way that we walk as children of light in goodness. Secondly, Paul says this, we walk as children of light in all righteousness. So what does righteousness do? What does it mean to walk in righteousness? It means to resist evil. So Paul says this, do not participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness. If we act like the rest of the world as Christians, are we not living more like darkness than light? Are we not being darkness? And yes, the darkness of sin is seductive, and it looks like it's enjoyable, and it looks like it's going to make us happy, but it never does. Sin's never going to satisfy you. It'll always leave you wanting. And so our job as children of light is to expel the darkness from ourselves in our midst. It's to not get drawn and dragged into the rest of the sin like the rest of the world. That word participate is a Greek word called koinonia. Maybe some of you know that word. It's the word we use for fellowship, the word we use for communion. And so we expel the darkness from our midst so that we don't have fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And is this not just being little Christ once again? Is this not just following the footsteps of Jesus, who always by his whole life, his words and deeds, expelled the darkness from his own midst and that of others? Didn't he always chase darkness away? That's the second way that we walk as children of light, as Paul describes it. We come to his third one, which is to walk as children of light in all truth. So what does truth do? Truth exposes falsehood. And so Paul says, expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Why? Because everything exposed by the light becomes visible. This is the nature of light, right? Light makes stuff visible. We can't see in the dark, like I was talking to the kids about. Doctor can't see unless he puts a light in your ears. Light has to shine and make things visible. And like Jesus, we act as little lights in the world, little Christs, when we do what he did, when we call sin out for what it is, when we brand sin as sin, when we mark sin for what it is, damnable to a holy and just God, deserving of death and hell. You know, of the three ways that Paul says we walk as children of light, this is the one I think we're the weakest at. You know, hopefully we have a kind of a conscientious mind about being a signal of goodness and showing the world what is pleasing to God in our lives. Hopefully we're conscientious in our minds about living in righteousness and rejecting evil and expelling the darkness from us so we don't get dragged down into the world's sins. Hopefully we're conscientious about that. But this third one, exposing sin, shining a spotlight on sin and showing people what evil sin is, this is a tough one. This is a whole other animal. Is this not why we're not so good at it? I mean, the world, you think about this. Christ has made us to be light. He has called you children of light. This is what we do. This is what light does. Light exposes the darkness. The world is not bothered when we signal what goodness is and we live with a God-pleasing life. They're not bothered by that. The world, by and large, is not bothered when we choose not to participate in their sin and we resist. As long as we don't bother them about it and we don't bring up their sin. But as soon as you shine a light on their sin and you say evil, and you say God is displeased by this, and that this deserves death, that is the quickest way to get in hot water in what is, in this day and age, a culture of outrage. A culture that is tolerant of everything except intolerance. But this is our calling as children of light. Is this not why we are so weak at this? Because society would cause such a ruckus if we did that. Is this why we avoid it? Avoid being the children of light God has made us to be. Let's face it. We're too nice. We are too sanitary. We are too much a children's storybook version of Christianity as we present ourselves to the world. We are too benign a tumor on society. We are too cowardly. You know, we have let the sinful world push us around for far too long. We have let them control the narrative. We have let them invent sanitized and politically correct terminology to hide their sin. George Orwell, who wrote 1984, said this, "Political language is designed to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind." The unbelieving world loves to hide their sin behind language. How do they do that? Well, what do they call abortion? Abortion is called women's reproductive health. It's health care. And it's something to be celebrated as an act of empowerment for women. Let's call it what it is. It's murder. It's sin. It is destroying the life of another for the sake of personal convenience. It is not goodness, it is not righteousness, it is not truth, it is darkness. And it is your calling and mine, as children of light, to expose it for what it is. They don't call it euthanasia or doctor-assisted suicide anymore. You know what they call it? Aid in dying. Sounds a lot more pleasant. Let's call it what it is. It's suicide. It's self-murder. It's a denial of God's providence and God's sovereignty over all things. It's not goodness. It's not righteousness. It's not truth. It's darkness. And it's your calling and mine as children of light to expose it for what it is. They say that a transgender person dressed in promiscuous drag reading stories to children in public libraries is wholesome. And it's inclusive and it's tolerant. But let's call it what it is. It's child abuse. It's not goodness. It's not righteousness. It's not truth. It's darkness and it's sin. And it's your calling and mine as children of light to expose it for what it is. They say it's perfectly healthy to encourage a young child to take gender transition drugs and to have gender reassignment surgery. Gender is not binary, they say. It's all on a spectrum, and we're all somewhere on the spectrum. You can choose what and who you want to be. Never mind that God made gender binary on a very biological level of DNA. Let's call this what it is. Again, it's child abuse. It's not goodness, it's not righteousness, it's not truth. It's darkness, and it's your calling and it's mine as children of light to expose it for what it is. They say that love is love no matter who it is, if it's a man and a woman or two men or two women or three, whatever. As long as it's love, then it's okay. But love apart from the truth is not love at all. Let's call it what it is. It is hatred for God. It is sin. It is not goodness. It is not righteousness. It is not truth. It is darkness. And it is your calling and mine as children of light to expose it for what it is. You know, the world is in the state that it's in, and our nation is in the state that it's in today. In part, because Christians have failed to be light. Because we have shrunk back in cowardice at the task of exposing sin for the darkness and the evil that it is. We have failed to call sin, sin. Now, the world is in the state that it is, and our nation is in the state that it is in. Because we have all too often let the devil and his world push us around. We have let them control the narrative. Now, somebody might say, well, Pastor, these are social issues. This is a social thing. The church's job is not to be policers of morality on society. To which I would say, true, the church's job is not to be policers of morality. But this is not just merely a social issue. This is very much a spiritual issue. This is an eternal life and death issue. What is at stake here is not the church's hold on society. The church was never meant to have a hold on society and culture. What is at stake here is the church's hold on souls. It's very much a spiritual issue. It is an issue of eternal life and death. We are called as a church, and we are called as individuals to shine our light in the darkness. We are called as a church and we are called as individuals to convict the world of their sin by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word. This is our calling as children of light. And it's also that we can shine a different light. It's also that we can ultimately shine the light of Jesus and the Savior and the gospel and his salvation on people. And that's why Paul quotes an ancient hymn when he says, "Awake, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is what Jesus did for you. He shone his light on you, and he raised you from the dead. He raised you to life. And if he can do that for you, if he can do that miracle in your heart, he can do that miracle in anybody's heart that he chooses to. And if he can forgive you your sins of weakness and of cowardice and of hatred and of self-worship, he can forgive those sins in anyone he chooses to. Because he's already forgiven, or he's already paid for those sins on the cross. And he's already made you light who were once darkness. He's already made you light in a world of darkness. Yes, there's going to be opposition. Whenever a Christian exposes sin in the world for what it is, and yes, it's going to feel at times like we are not up to this task, but Jesus has forgiven you, and he has made you light. We need only be what he has made us to be. How do we practically do this in our own personal lives and in our own circles of influence? that's kind of for each of us to wrestle with on an individual level, right? But I'll say this much. These three aspects of walking as a child of light, these three fruits of the light, they're all interconnected and they work together. And they all keep one another in balance. And so in your whole life as walking as a child of light, and in every individual interaction, look for balance. Strive to live in all goodness and in all righteousness and in all truth. Let your light and your life signal to the rest of the world what true goodness is, what a life pleasing to the Lord looks like. Let your life and your light expel the darkness from your own midst. Let your light and your life expose to others what sin is by the truth. Walk as children of light. Do what light does. Amen.